Well, today is the first of our new series called Finding God in Our Songs. And what we're going to be doing through the month of August, and I will also just mention that starting September, we'll be returning to our series on Romans, which was interrupted rudely by the COVID virus. But for August, we're going to be looking at a variety of popular, contemporary, classic songs, and looking for God in those songs. And for all of us, music just plays a very important role. For some of us, a little more than others, but for all of us, music is just very, very important. And I collected a few quotes that I just hope will help get us started. Without music, said Friedrich Nietzsche, life would be a mistake. Pretty strong words. Music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything, said Plato. Where words fail, music speaks, Hans Christian Andersen. Music is a language that doesn't speak in particular words. It speaks in emotions. And if it's in the bones, it's in the bones. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Music, and I think that's one reason why, this quote is one of the reasons why I think it's important perhaps to do this in this time. Music will help dissolve your perplexities and purify your character and sensibilities, and in time of care and sorrow will keep a fountain of joy alive in you. And the famous composer and conductor, Leonard Bernstein, this will be our reply to violence, to make music more intensely, more beautifully, more devotedly than ever before. Music, not all of it, of course, but a lot of it, reflects the times in which it was written. To know the time is to know the music, and to know the music is to know the time. Karl Barth, the famous German theologian, made this statement, which is well known at least throughout the world of theology. Take your Bible and take your newspaper and read both, but interpret newspapers from your Bible. And hopefully you all know me well enough to know that for me, it is absolutely essential if we're going to live the Christian life that we live it with our one foot, at least one foot, just placed firmly in the mud and muck of the world. You cannot be a mature Christian only secluded in your closet. It's just not made to be that way. We are designed to have our feet. We are called to have our feet in the world, to take our Bible in one hand, our newspaper in the other, and read both thoroughly, but interpret the newspaper from our Bible. And that's what we're going to try to do with the songs that we look at this month. We will be using likely exclusively secular songs, songs from the world. And I just want to say a few things about that before we get started. One is, by using any particular song, we are certainly not affirming the lifestyle of any songwriter, musician, singer, or band, nor are we affirming their world and life view. But these songs touch on real life. And as they touch on real life, they have meaning and they can speak to us, especially when placed in the light of God's word. And I will admit freely that some of the places I'm going to go with some of these songs are a little bit stream of consciousness. That's my way that I'm taking them. You may take them in a totally different way. You may not even agree with the way I'm taking them, but that's partly the way art is. So I'm hoping that as some of these touch me, have touched me and continue to do so, they will also touch you. And also, as you all know, of course, we are in rough times. We're in rough times because of the pandemic. We're in rough times because of the upheaval that's going on within our society here in the United States. We're in rough times as we look at the news, as we look at climate issues, as we look at justice issues, as we look at violence issues, illness, pandemics, whatever way you look at it, we are in a rough time. And music can move us. You've also heard me say, I think plenty of times here, that one of the things that moves me the deepest, and it doesn't have to be that way for anyone else, but that's the way it's for me, is classic rock and roll. And very often nowadays, after Cindy's left the house, I call it a Led Zeppelin morning. And I have about four Led Zeppelin albums, and I can put one of them on, and I can crank that baby up, and because we're living in a neighborhood of freestanding houses, no one else hears it, I hope. And that's sometimes what gets me going in the morning. Well, hopefully there's music that's important to you, that gives you hope, that expresses your frustrations, that expresses perhaps even your rages and your angers. So those are some of the goals and parameters of what we're going to be doing over the next weeks. Now, I've told you, and this is going to continually be the case, that I'm going to keep the song that I'm going to choose for each morning a surprise. It is true that many of you have sent in many songs. And so I'm going to have to make some choices. So that means also that not all of the songs will be mine, my choices, or songs that I would put in the list. But today's song, and it's really kind of a no-brainer. It's like a hanging curveball. It's going to be from the Rolling Stones, Give Me Shelter. The Rolling Stones is one of the most well-known rock and roll groups in the history of rock and roll, which admittedly isn't that long. Formed in London in 1962. Its members are Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. Mick Jagger is the main songwriter and singer in terms of lyrics, and Keith Richards is the main songwriter in terms of the music and guitarist. Keith Richards and Mick Jagger have known each other since 1960. Sorry, not even 1960, 1950. So that's 70 years they've known each other. Then there's Charlie Watts on the drums, Ronnie Wood on guitar, and Daryl Jones on the bass, who replaced Bill Wyman in 1982. They're listed fourth on the list of greatest artists of all time, but I don't think that list includes Bach and Beethoven. They've sold 240 million records. They are still touring. Their last tour, No Filter, was completed just a year ago. Give Me Shelter, this song, comes from their album Let It Bleed, which was released in December of 1969. Give Me Shelter is ranked one of the best rock and roll songs of all time, along with Can't Always Get What You Want, which is from the same album. So it's really a curious coincidence that the album Let It Bleed starts with Give Me Shelter and ends with You Can't Always Get What You Want. I'll let you do what you want with that. Give Me Shelter was written by the Rolling Stones lead vocalist Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. Richards says, I had been sitting by the window of my friend Robert Fraser's apartment on Mount Street in London with an acoustic guitar when suddenly the sky went completely black and an incredible monsoon came down. It was just people running about looking for shelter. That was the germ of the idea. We went further into it until it became, you know, rape and murder are just a shot away. And Jagger says, well, it's a very rough, very violent era, 1969. The Vietnam War, violence on the screens, pillage and burning. And Vietnam was not war as we knew it in the conventional sense. The thing about Vietnam was that it wasn't like World War II, and it wasn't like Korea, and it wasn't like the Gulf War. It was a real nasty war, and people didn't like it. People objected. People didn't want to fight it. That's a kind of an end of the world song, really. It's an apocalypse. The whole record is like that. You'll notice on this song, if you are not familiar with it, that there's background vocals. The background vocals are sung by a lady by the name of Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, Clayton, who at the time was a singer. This is 1969. The recording was made in Los Angeles. She was 20 years old, the daughter of a Baptist preacher, and she was lying in bed about midnight, 6 months pregnant, with her hair in curlers. And she got a call from the studio, where she often sang as backup singer, if she would come and do some backup singing for a group called the Rolling Stones. After some discussion with her husband talked her into doing it. And she went and early in the morning recorded the background vocals for this song. And she went through it a couple times, and then she said to herself, okay, now we're going to do the recording, and I'm going to do it with great energy. And you will notice there's a line in the song that says, rape, murder, it's just a shot away. And you will notice, especially if your speakers are pretty good, if you're just using an iPhone, you might not notice, but you might notice her voice cracking. It cracks with emotion. It's just an amazing amount of energy that she put into this song. And actually, and I'm not sure it's related to the song, but actually she ended up miscarrying that pregnancy and never was able to bear that baby. So we're going to see the original album version of Gimme Shelter. I must admit that the live versions you find on YouTube are much better. That's because the song has grown in stature and in popularity. I'll give you a tip if you want to listen to it later. There's a version with U2 and Fergie singing it with Mick Jagger, which is really great. And then one other little detail I'd like you to notice. There's a percussion instrument, which you will hear. That's a Latin American percussion instrument called the güiro. It's an open-ended hollow gourd with parallel notches cut in one side. It's played by rubbing a stick along the notches to produce a ratchet sound. So you should be able to hear that also very quickly right at the beginning. So here, without further ado, the Rolling Stones, Give Me Shelter. Storm is threatening my very life today. If I don't get some shelter, I'm going to fade away. Fire is sweeping our very street today. Burns like a red coal carpet. Mad bull lost your way. War, children, it's just a shot away. Disaster is just a shot away. Can be a word, moment of distraction, seemingly innocent longing, a random shift in direction of a storm, a real storm like Tropical Storm Isaias, can be the culmination of a series of small mistakes that you hardly notice, quiet events building up to a crisis, unleashed by a seemingly random event, unknown influences and decisions that happen in secret, that may not even be known or able to be articulated, and they may not even seem to mean very much, but that they can erupt into real war or storm. And again, I think there's no more applicable text for our time than this one. All around us, on all kinds of levels, from that deep in our hearts to the global pandemic and violence and wars in which we find ourselves. A storm is threatening our very lives today. If I don't get some shelter, yes, I'm going to fade away. This is not new for you, of course, but the Bible provides us with words that direct us to the shelter who is our Lord God. And I wanted to read this morning a few verses from Psalm 91, which should appear on your screen. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, there's the shelter word. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And then a little bit later in the psalm, because of time, I'm not reading the whole thing. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, your shelter, the Most High, who is my refuge, my shelter, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. And tent is another word for shelter. Because he holds fast to me in love, says God, because my child holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Just wonderful words from Psalm 91 in the Old Testament. And I encourage you this afternoon or sometime in this week to read the whole psalm and let them just roll over your soul and your heart. And then, of course, these magnificent words from Jesus in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. The storms, the floods, the mad bull, the fire. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest or shelter for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the time of storm, in the time where fires are sweeping, burning like a red coal carpet, mad bull lost his way. God calls you and he calls us this morning, and these are just real simple things that you all know, but I'm just repeating them, to come to him, to come to Jesus. That is your only place of true shelter. The psalm gives the idea that if you do that, your life will turn around. And you all know that that is not necessarily the case. It's not true that in this life, if you find rest in Jesus, that you will have no troubles. It's not even true that you won't die. You likely will. But in the end, what God means to say in his word and in his gospel is that no evil will have the last word or the last victory over you. Whatever this life brings you, even if you were to die from the COVID virus 3 weeks from now, in the end, in the final analysis, no evil will have the last word or the last victory. And as you live in with finding his shelter and his rest, then he promises and delivers rescue. I'm just picking words out of the psalm. He promises honor. He promises long life. And I think partly what he means by that is that life doesn't end with the grave, it continues. He promises, and the psalm uses this word, and I had to laugh when I read it. He promises satisfaction, because those of you who know the Rolling Stones will know that their most famous song of all is, "I can't get no satisfaction." Jesus promises rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So my first invitation this morning is to come to Jesus and find in him, maybe for the first time, really, or maybe in a new way, as the fires sweep around you, as the floods and the storms threaten your life, to find your rest in him in new ways. What's interesting about this song is that "Give Me Shelter" is that the great majority of it is, of course, about the disaster and the storm and the wars and the difficulties. It's only at the very last piece, the last verse. "I tell you, love, sister, it's just a kiss away. It's just a kiss away." And to be perfectly honest, what I've thought of this week as I've just thought about this text is, where does kiss appear in the Bible? Well, there's a couple places. Sometimes it's just kind of a normal, it's the way people greet each other. I think in the Middle East, you tend to give one another a kiss. I know in the Netherlands, you tend to do that when you greet someone or when you say goodbye to someone, you give them a kiss. So it appears in that way. There's also the way it appears in the Song of Solomon with the two lovers who are kissing each other. But of course, you know, it also appears in the Garden of Gethsemane. Where Judas, the betrayer of Jesus, comes up and gives him a kiss in order to identify him as the one who can be captured by the soldiers and beaten and flogged and tried unjustly and mocked and spit on and scourged and crucified in the most horrible possible way in order to ensure that we have a place of shelter. And it's just fascinating for me to think of this kiss of Judas, which was designed to be an evil thing. It's just a kiss, and God turning it into the salvation of the world. Love is just a kiss away, in spite of betrayal. In spite of being turned upon, Jesus went the way of the cross and bore our sins and bore the evil and sin of the world and took all the impact that evil has brought on the world upon his shoulders. While we were still enemies, the New Testament says, while we were still sinners, while we were still raging against God and his anointed, Christ died for us. He took our kiss of betrayal and turned it into everlasting love. And on that cross, hanging on that cross, He cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." So as we go to communion this morning, there's not only the finding the rest in Jesus, but there's finding in the kiss of God the Father, as Jesus received that kiss of betrayal from Judas, there's finding in the kiss of God the Father the love that we need to make it in this world. We've been talking about love over the last weeks as we've talked about the virtues. Love always has this vertical relationship to God, but it always has this horizontal moving out. Love, sister, is just a kiss away. Sometimes it doesn't take very much, but just the smallest thing. But if it's love that's rooted in being sheltered in Jesus, it's the kind of love that will take the deepest betrayal and turn it into the most rich salvation. So as we come to the table today, I invite you to find your shelter in Jesus, to know his love, to know his kiss, and then to be equipped and encouraged and strengthened and fed to go out into the world and do what he has called you to do. Certainly the storms are threatening our very life today. But love is just a kiss away. And may you experience today the kiss of God himself upon your life. Amen.